So, good morning, my hearties. Once again, it's Daf Yomi time. This one being brought to you from the seashore here in Netanya. I don't know if you can hear the roar of the sea in the background. In any event, it's a beautiful day, and we're ready to start with Funkton der Helike Perek, which I'm sure is nowhere near as good as when Sabotage does it. Now, beginning with the story of the Isurei Kehuna. Almana l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen edyot. So now, an almana who marries, of course, the isur, a kohen gadol, or a grusha v'chalutza who marries a regular kohen, of course, being over on an isur lav. In the event that in the nisuin, ichnisalo avdei malog, these now the difference between nichsei malog and nichsei tzon barzel is that things that belong to the woman, and the husband has rights only to eat whatever is produced by them, or in the case of Avadim, to eat the work of the Avadim, that is to say, the beneficiary of their work, Nichsei Tzon Barzel are considered to be in the husband's Rishus completely. And if the marriage breaks up, he is then responsible for their initial assessed value. And when it comes to the Nichzei Malog, they're hers, and he's not responsible for anything that happens to them. That accounts for the difference in the names. The idea of Tzon Barzel is if they are sheep made out of steel. In other words, they are things that she is never going to lose, because whatever happens, the one who she married is going to be responsible for their worth. So that this becomes Tzon Barzel. Tzon Barzel was initially a term that was used for giving over sheep to a shepherd in a way that it was understood that he was responsible for the value of the sheep and not simply doing a job. On the other hand, Nichsei Malog would be nechasim that the husband is able to eat, because melog is equivalent to the word of meliga. Meliga is where you pluck things out of the head using the hair, or melog would be you pluck things off of the, you actually might singe them off when you singe off the feathers or pull off the down of chickens. But the point is over here that the property is hers. It's only what comes out of it that belongs to him. Therefore, if there's changes in its value or damages or something happens to them, it's not the husband's worry, it's her worry. In general, the things that a woman owns, if they aren't listed in the ketubah, are hers. And they're called nichsei malog. It's just a takona that the husband is allowed to use them. This we'll get to in Ketubot, why they made this takana and what the husband provides in exchange. On the other hand, Nichsei Tzon Barzel are written up specifically in the Ketubah, and their value is noted in the Ketubah, and it's that value that he's responsible in the event of the breakup of the marriage that he has to replace. So now, in the event that she brings into this illicit marriage Avadim that are Avadim Malog, but they belong to her, and she is not allowed on her own to eat truma. She can't even eat truma, even if she was a Kohenet in this case, because she became Psula Minakuna by having entered into this illicit marriage. Even though these are things that are her husband's, in the sense that he's allowed to use them, and if you hold Kinyan Perot or Kinyan Haguf, then in this case they ought to belong to the husband. But when it comes to the question of eating truma, it has to be a kinyan that the Baal has on the actual guf, the kinyan kaspo, not a kinyan that comes through kinyan perot, and therefore there is no right to eat truma at all. It's because the woman herself can't eat truma, and they cannot eat truma. Whereas the Avdei Tzon Barzel, which belong to the Baal, Yuchelud, since they are Kinyan Kaspo, In this case, they are allowed to continue to eat truma because, after all, their owner eats truma. When he sleeps with the woman who is asura to him, he does not become pasul for the kahuna. Ve'helu in avdei malug. What exactly defines avdei malug that the woman brought in without declaring them in the ketubah and without noting their value in the ketubah? That imetu metu la, v'imotiru otiru la. Anything that happens to these avadim, they die. She's the one who has to suffer the loss. He's not responsible. If they end up going up tremendously in value, or she invested in them, in their education, whatever it is, it's hers. Avapishu chayav mizonotan. So even though they're considered to be his in terms of their usage, and therefore he has to feed them, nonetheless, since their actual goof does not belong to him, and the owner in this case is a woman who is psula from eating truma, so too does the thing she owned cannot eat truma. What defines now the situation of Avdetzon Barzel, where they weren't noted in the where they were noted rather in the ketuvah, and their value was noted? Imetu metu lo, that's talking about avadim which, had they died, it would be his responsibility to replace from hutiru. If they ended up being worth more, he's the one that gets that additional value. He only has to pay her back the value that was listed in the ketubah. That is avadim that are avdei tzon barzel. Since in this case the avadim are able over here to eat in the truma, because he is in fact the owner. So since he is responsible totally, now this is the situation when we're talking about illicit marriage, where there was a lav that was involved, or an avera that was involved. But a bat Yisrael shini said the kohen, on the other hand, where there's no avera involved. Let us say that an isha who is not a kohenet marries a kohen, v'ichnisa lo avadim. She brings avadim into the marriage, then it doesn't matter whether they're avdei malug or avdei tzon barzel, bein avdei malug, bein avdei tzon barzel, arei elu yochlu v'truma. In this case, they are allowed to eat truma, because over here the woman herself eats truma, and therefore her own avadim can eat truma. Ubat kohen, on the other hand, the bat kohen would have eaten truma on her own, shenisei l'Yisrael. V'ichnisel lo avadim, but Kohen who marries a Ben Yisrael now, who cannot eat truma, she brings avadim into this marriage, kosher marriage. Bein avdei malug, bein avdei tzon barzel, areyelu lo yochlu b'truma. The moment that she marries a Yisrael, as we saw earlier, she loses her right to eat truma as a kohenet, and therefore her avadim also cannot continue to eat truma, despite the fact that she owns their guf. Asks the Gemara, avdei malug, does it make sense that the avdei malug, because of this illicit marriage, lo yochlu b'truma, cannot eat truma, because they're essentially hers? Amai, lahavi kin kinyano shekana kinyan. Why are they not considered to be a kinyan that the kohen bought, and they eat therefore from the kohen? The tani minayin lekohen shenasai sheva kana avadim. How do we know that a kohen who marries a woman or who buys avadim sheyochlu b'truma, they're allowed to eat truma? Shenemar v'kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochal bo. So whether he buys now a kinyan kaspo, buys a nefesh, that is to say he marries a woman, or he buys avadim where he actually owns the goof, that he and they continue to eat. Minayin lishar shekanta avadim. How do we know that this woman that was now bought, so to speak, married by the kohen, who bought in terms of avadim, in her own turn, she bought avadim, and they're hers. And how do we know that his avadim, shekanu avadim, how about his own servants, who buy servants in such an unusual fashion, where they would be, in fact, his own? Because we have to, normally we would say whatever a servant buys is automatically owned by the owner. But we try to have a case where somebody gives money with a built-in condition that the owner has no reshut in it, in which case if the owner would have reshut in it, then the money would never have been given. And so the catch-22 creates a situation where it's not the owner's. So how do we know in such a case where the Eved himself buys now Avadim, that there too Shiochlu, the Avadim of the woman or the Avadim of the Eved, Yitruna, Shnemar v'Kohen ki yiknen nefesh kinyan kaspo, hu yochalbo. This kinyan kaspo would mean the kinyano kana kinyan. That's straight up. And that Kohen ki yikne, and that yikne, that nefesh will go now, kinyan kaspo of the nefesh. Now this nefesh, that is the kinyan shekana kinyan, would also be ochel, since he himself is being ochel through the Kohen, so too what he buys is also being eaten through the rights that he has to eat in the Kohen. Asks the Gemara, v'lo? So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, why would we not actually feed the Avadim of the Isha, in this case the Avdei Malug, Truma? Answers the Gemara, Kol Ochel Ma'achil, someone who has a right to eat Truma on their own can feed Truma. But Kol She'eno Ochel, if he cannot eat on their own, Eino Ma'achil, they cannot give Truma to that which they bought. And in this case, the woman cannot give Truma because she became a Chalala and sleeping with the Sisser Lot. Therefore, the Avodim, which are Kinyanim of the Isha, can also not eat Truma, because after all, it's all interrelated in the Pasuk. Kohen ki yikne hu yochalbo, so too, that ki yikne hu yochalbo, which buys now Kinyan Kaspo hu yochalbo. Ask the Gemara v'lo, is it indeed true that someone who cannot eat himself cannot provide? V'arei arel v'cholat tmeim. How about a Kohen who is an arel? And that arel himself cannot eat truma. Or the Kohen happens to be tummy, and he cannot eat truma. Nonetheless, ma'achilin, we do learn out that they can be, at the time that they are arelim or tmeim, at that same time, they can provide the rights to eat truma to their wives or to their servants. Answers the Gemara, hatam, over there, the case of the arel v'cholat tmeim, so that Kohen is not considered to be eno ochel on his own. The problem is that he's got a side issue that is preventing him from currently chewing, as if pumayo koyev lahu, his mouth hurts him. Okay, so in other words, there's something exteriorized, in this case, the arelut, which could be removed, or the tuma, which could be removed, and that prevents him from eating, which is very different than an almanac or a Kohen Gadol who will never, ever have the rights from Truma. Now, you might ask, is not an Orel where his brothers died because of Mila and therefore his hemophilia and we cannot bemal him? That's not called a temporary problem, is it? But it is in a sense that if we would find a solution to hemophilia, then we would be able to bemal him, and therefore it's only looked at an external problem for which we may have no current solution, but the problem remains solvable in essence. Asks the Gemara, and what about a mamzer? A mamzer cannot eat truma himself, eino ochel, and nonetheless he is considered to be ma'achil in certain cases, because let us say that he would have a bas yisrael, let's say, would have gone ahead and married a Kohen, and had with him a daughter. This daughter goes ahead and now has a mamzer. The Kohen and the daughter died, and the mamzer grandson is alive. The fact is that the grandmother, the original wife of the Kohen, continues to eat truma, even though he is a mamzer. And the reason is because she has now offspring from a Kohen, despite the fact that that offspring is a mamzer, which means that that mamzer gives her rights to eat. Amazing situation. Now, of course, this would be true where the daughter had married somebody kosher, and it had a ben that was kosher, and he too would have given his grandmother, even though he's a Yisroel, completely Yisroel. We're trying to show that the mamzer himself, which is Yisroel, can't eat, But this is the case that the Mishnah had spoken about, and we're talking about, therefore, this case, although obviously we could have proved it otherwise. So then you do see that someone who cannot eat himself can nonetheless be ma'achil. Omer Ravina, Ravina says what we said before is a general rule, that someone who cannot eat, cannot feed truma, was not a rule that you were supposed to apply universally. It was a rule that defined the type of kinyanim that he does, the pasuk was talking about. Ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo yochabo. It should have been stated, therefore, a little bit more carefully. Kinyan ochel, ka'omar. It's only something that was bought that can eat, can feed. In other words, we should say, kinyan ochel ma'achil, something that had been bought that is allowed to eat can feed truma. Sheino ochel kinyan, that itself cannot eat truma, such as this case of the woman or the eved who can't eat truma, eino ma'achil. Avdim belug, even though there are kinyan over here. Shekana kinyan, and therefore you would think that they could eat, but nonetheless, since they are not able to eat, so too their kinyan can eat. Ashen came the mamzer in that case was not a kinyan, he was the child of the kohen. And the child of a kohen, the Torah says separately, he continues to be ma'achil b'truma, even though her husband is dead. Whereas Rava gives a different solution. Rava says, look, the truth is that midiraisa mechalach. Actually, the Avdei Malug would eat Truma Midiraisa because they are a kosher kinyan of this Kohen. It's only a Gzeir Derabbanan. Kedesh Tomar, we want this Amona, we marry illicitly. We want her to say, Ani Eini Ochelet, Avadai Einan Ochelin. She should think to herself, my God, what type of relationship am I locked into? Zonahi Yetzlo. I mean, what am I here? Just a common whore? So, and therefore, we expect her to rethink the marriage, or according to Meiri, even worse, we expect them to get into fights over this issue, and that the marriage will break up, which is what we're interested in. Milka Chatila Fukang, in the end, he's going to go and divorce her, which is exactly what we want. Rav Ashi says, the reason that the Chachomim and Ragoza agree with Rava, that Midiraisa really they could eat, the reason that the Chachomim and Ragoza are not eat is Gizera Shema Ta'achil. We're afraid that this woman will continue feeding her Avdei Malug li'achar mita after her husband dies, and then they for sure cannot eat because he's no longer being ma'afil and she's psula. Ela mi'ata says the Gemara, if we have a gzera like that, we should make a gzera like that on every Bat Yisrael. Shenisait la'kohen. Let's say a Bat Yisrael marries a kohen and she marries without any problems. It's a completely kosher marriage. But the halacha is that her avadim do eat truma. Why don't we say lo ta'achil, she shouldn't be able to feed truma to her avdei malug? Gzeira shema ta'achil yachar mita, maybe she'll feed truma after her husband, who is the kohen, dies. And at that point, they have no right to continue to be ochel. Now, Tosfos says there's not really any comparison, because a bat Yisrael that marries a kohen without doing any avera, we're not... No reason for us to be cautious that she would feed her avadim after his death, because she recognizes immediately the change in her own circumstances. In other words, she sees that while he was alive, she was eating truma, but now that he died, she isn't eating truma. So she recognizes that, of course, the avadim state just probably changed too. The Amon HaKohen Gadol, who was married illicitly, who was unable to eat even while he was alive, and therefore, after he dies, she won't notice any kind of difference. Interesting and very reasonable question that Tosfos asks. The solution to which basically required a change, according to Tosfos, in the way in which we're gores here. And I think we shall leave it for a more intense review of this stuff. But in any event, the logic that the Gemara is asking, the logic of Rav Ashi, Gezeira Shema Ta'achil, ought to apply in all cases, and therefore the Gemara changes its tune. Elam Rav Ashi says, actually, you're right. We will not be Gozer, maybe she'll feed her Avadim during the if we let her feed Avadim during the lifetime, then during her her state of widowhood, she would also continue to feed. Rather, we're talking about an almana who is a kohenet. So she is a bat kohen. She became an almana without any children. She went back to eating truma in the house of her father, which is the halacha, went and married a kohen gadol b'isur, and now she's going to think, she's going to be meira heter to herself and say, look, me'ikara, the first time I was married, okay, achle b'truma d'veinash, I continue to eat, I mean, the inserted my avodim eat from the truma while I was eating truma in the house of my father, who was a kohen. When I went ahead, I went ahead and married this kohen gadol, achli b'truma d'gavrai. These avodim continued to eat, if that would have been the case, because of my husband. Now that my husband died, hashta hadri l'milsa kamaita, why can't I go back to the way that I was before and let my avodim eat the truma that is given to them through my father, who is a kohen, not realizing v'lo yada demi'ikara, she doesn't recognize that before she married this kohen gadol, and she was herself ruya to eat truma lo shavita l'naf shechalala, and since she was k'sher l'kohuna the truma, there was no problem ravonim eating truma, but now that she married the kohen gadol ba'avera shavita l'naf shechalala, she herself now is never allowed to eat truma, and therefore cannot return to her father's household to eat truma, nor can her avadim return to the household to eat truma. Says the Gemara, this is all very nice if you're talking about an almana who was a kohenet. So then you have to make this gezeira that, in fact, she won't realize that she had made herself a chalala this time, whereas last time she continued to eat. But certainly an almanat bat Yisrael, where she had never had the experience of going to eat, and never had her servants eat in truma. Ma'ikala Meimar, why should her servants not eat truma at this point because of the kinyan of her husband, which is a proper kinyan? And it says the Gemara ba'amanut lo pligi rabbanim. Once the rabbanim made a gezerah, they didn't make a distinction between one almanah and the other. They made a gezerah on all almanot in this, of this type, not to be able to be ma'achil the ravadim, because of the case of almanat bat kohen, who would very likely come to be over the Yisr without realizing it. Itmar. Mechaneset Ashum Va'ala. Someone, a woman, gets married. Ashum comes from the word assessment, Shuma. And she had whatever it was, that were all written down. She had it assessed. It was included, the value was included in the Ketuvah. All of which, of course, are Dichsetzot Barzel. The woman gets divorced and comes now to collect them. The original items are still there. So he omeret kelai ani notelet. So she says, look, okay, they're still here, I just want them back. Well, who omer? He says, no, I don't want to give them back. I mean, all I did was accept responsibility for their value. I'll pay them. I'll pay whatever it said in the ketubah. Damim ani noten. So whatever it was that it was registered as, I'll pay. Hadinim mi. Who basically gets the rights over here? Rav Yehuda Omer Adin Ima. Yehuda says, look, she has a right to those things. Rav Ami Omer Adin Imo. He has a right to just pay for them. Rav Yehuda Omer Adin Ima. Mishum Shevach Beit Avia. Rav Yehuda says, look, the it's true, maybe technically speaking, that really he would have the right to pay, because after all, that's the idea of Nichsei Tzon Barzel. The thing is that since there's Shevach Beit Aviyah, there's also an emotional attachment over here. These are the things that she has, basically, from the father's home, and they mean something to her, and therefore she has a right to be Tovat on that basis. So therefore, Didahavi, they belong to her. Rabbi Yomar, Kivan Diyamar Meitu Meitulovi Mitiro Tirolo. Once you tell me that the Dinu Nichsitzon Barzel is that they're entirely his in the event that an accident happens and there's nothing that he can turn to and say it wasn't my fault, essentially, he's the one who's taken all the risks, so therefore he's the one that gets the right to keep them, and if he wants to pay, he could pay. Omer of Safra. So since now he is chayev in their achrayut, therefore they can now eat shruma, which means that they're actually his. And that's the reason that they're eating shruma, and because of that, same reason that she can't have the back. So the Gemara, that doesn't mean very much. Omer of Safra. Mika Tani, I mean, it doesn't say in this Mishnah that they're eating because Vahin Shalom. It says they're eating because of the Chayav HaChayotan. Since he's responsible for them, therefore they eat. But it may well be that responsibility is not equal ownership. Ula Olam Lavdi Dein, you know, it may very well be that these servants are not considered to be his literally, and therefore she has a right to darshan them back. Says the Gemara, V'cholecha V'chayav B'chayotan. What is that supposed to mean? Are you trying to say that the very fact that you're responsible means that they would eat truma if there weren't also a din in actual ownership? But it's not. Do we not have a Mishnah that says Yisrael shesachar para mikohen? Here's a Yisrael, a non-truma eater, who rents a para from a kohen. This Yisrael now is allowed to continue feeding her vetches of truma, despite the fact that he himself is the one who's responsible for the pora at this point. But since it actually is owned by the kohen, and the schirut, the rental, doesn't make it the Yisrael's, the fact that there is responsibility does not equal ownership. Whereas a kohen, who was Sachar Param Yisrael and is responsible for the rental that he took from Yisrael, Afa Pisha Bezorotea Alav, Lo Yachid and Akashine Truma. The opposite is also so, that a Kohen, who has responsibility for something that belongs to Yisrael, does not feed a Truma. So that shows you that what counts is who is the technical owner, not who is responsible. And therefore, why are you proving to me from the Mishnah that the fact that the Kohen is responsible, and these people now would eat shruma, that equals the same thing? It only equals the same thing because he owns it. That's exactly the point. Since he owns it, therefore he has a right to keep it. So therefore, what Rav Safra is pointing out, that Chayav B'Chayotan is sufficient reason, is certainly insufficient reason. And Rav Ami is correct in saying that Hadinimo, because of the fact that Chayav B'Chayotan Yochlu, must be. Says the Gemara, no. V'tizbara, do you think that this is an accurate comparison? Ni nami de Machayav Igneva V'Avida. What kind of comparison is it? The meaning of the word responsible is being used in two completely different ways. It's true that when somebody rents an animal, that he's responsible. But what is he responsible for? He's responsible for lapses in his shmirah. In other words, he didn't properly take care of it. He's responsible for gneva, he's responsible for loss, for having it stolen. He's certainly not chayev b'onseah. Is he chayev now for something that happens through an act of God, it was hit by lightning? Is he responsible for kahasha, for it becoming now weakened? Benifchat damea, is he also responsible perhaps for a fall in its market value? Makes no sense at all. Of course, mi mechayev, naturally it's not chayev. And therefore, a nichse tzon barzel is a completely, who is responsible for all the above, is certainly responsible in a different way, which may be sufficient to be macho truma. Holodami al seifa, if you want to compare it to anything in our Mishnah, it's comparable to the end of that same Mishnah that said Yisrael. Shisham para mikohen. In a case where Yisrael doesn't rent the parah, but rather he is sham the parah. In other words, he takes on the full responsibility, no matter what happens, for this parah. There, lo yachilena kashine truma, since it's now in the reshus of the Yisrael, he can no longer feed it truma. and it is no longer considered to be the moment of the Kohen. Whereas in the inverse case, a Kohen, Shesham Param Yisrael, it now has become entirely as a Yechel Nerekashin Eshruma, because it's in the Rishos of the Kohen totally, which means that total responsibility, such as this, is sufficient to be Ma'achil Truma, even though, obviously, in this case, if the para is still around, the owner has every right to take back his para, which may well be the case in the Mishnah, despite the fact that Yavdei Tzon Barzel would be going back to the woman just as she insisted, but since in terms of Achrayut, they're entirely in the Rishos of the Baal, that's sufficient to be Ma'achil Truma, and therefore we do not have a Raya here to Rav Ami. When Rav Nachman finished his drosha, there were some people that were sitting around, including Rabba and Rav Yosef. And obviously during the drosha they were not actually sitting, they would be standing and they wouldn't be speaking either. But at this point they were thinking over the drosha and discussing it. And they said, Tanya, Kavasi, the Rav Yehuda, seems to say it a brighter beferush, like Rav Yehuda, who says that the din is with the woman, that because of Shevach Beit Aviyah, she has a right to get the actual chevet back in a case where it was Shon Barzel. With Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Ami, there's another brighter that says that the din is with the husband, and that since he's responsible for it, it is not considered to be hers. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Ami, what are we referring to? When we're talking about a brisa that is in fact concurs with Rav Ami Shita, it says as follows: Avdei Tzon Barzel Yotzin B'Shem V'Ayin LeIsh. So the Avodim now, let's say that they are hurt by the master and they lose a tooth, they lose an eye. Now the din normally is that the Avod then would go L'Chofshi for free, and the owner loses rights to his slave. So now the question is, if it's Tzon Barzel, who is the one whose attack will now make the Evet free? So here it says in the Braita that Avdei Tzon Barzel, if they're attacked by the husband and he knocks out a tooth or blinds the Evet, then the Evet will go free. Avaloli Isha, if the woman does that, they will not go free. So in other words, you see from here that the true owner of Nichsei Tzon Barzel is the husband, and if that's the case, doesn't have to give them back to her because he's the only one who is considered to be the owner in terms of the Torah's chiyuv of the owner's attack freeing the Evet. So it all seems to follow logically, and that is exactly what it was that Rav Ami had said. On the other hand, we have another brisa that supports Rav Yehuda. Tanika was at Rav Yehuda where it says HaMachneset Shum Leva'ala. Some woman was now getting married and bringing in some properties and chattel that she's listed its value to her husband. And she writes them down in the ketuvah. Their Nichsei Tzon Barzel kept all the rules. If he wishes to sell these things, he cannot sell them because he has to return it to her as they are. Even if there were things that she had listed as being hers in the Ketuvah that she has a right to, and they were his own things, and they were written in the Ketuvah for her, if he wants to sell them, he cannot sell them. If either of them, this doesn't mean both of them, if either of them, this one or that one, sells these things, the Parnassa, sells them in order to live off her, for whatever purpose. If they were trimming a Leo, an actual event like this happened, the Amar, and he said, look, Habal, if the husband sell, so even he who sold can go back and take them away from the buyer. So he's Motzi Miyad HaLakuchot. Even the people that he sold to, he can turn around and take it away from them, because as long as the woman is around, Rashi understands that the case is like this. If the woman dies, so now he gets the kayak of the woman, and can be motzi miyad halakuchot. So once she dies, he now has all the rights to this, but as long as she's alive, he cannot be mevatel the machir that he himself made. So then the Tosas, however, following the Shita of Rabbi Hananel, say that anything that a husband would sell in these circumstances would be instantly annulled, and he would be able to take it from the Lekuchos, being based on a Takanat Chachamin, that if there was something that had a schutz to the woman, the Chachamin were mitaken that the sale should not be chal, so that the wife, in the event that he dies, should not have to now do a search for who it is that's bought it and take them to court and so on. And these are one of the things that were done for the benefit of the women. But in any event, the halacha over here would be now, the maisa was, that came to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and he said, the Baal is motzi miyad alakuchos, because his sale is not considered to be a sale. Certainly the woman can be now to be motziya from someone that had bought it from the Baal, but even the Baal, where the guy could say, now, how could you do that? You just agreed to sell it to me. Even he can come back and take it away, obviously refunding the money. So that means, from here we see, that Kalin, that were included in the Ketuvah, and were listed as Tzon Barzel, do go to her, exactly as Rav Yehuda said, which is why he does not have schus to sell them while she is now married to him. Omar Rav Am Rav Nachman, Halochak Rav Yehuda, indeed this is how we pask, and the din is with the woman, and she has a right to get it back as long as it is extant. Omar Rav Am Nachman, why do you pask the Rav Yehuda? V'tanika v'asir Rav Ami. Did we not have a braita before that said beferish like Rav Ami? To which Rav Nachman replied, Afagav v'tanika v'asir Rav Ami, mistav v'tayma de Rav Yehuda, mishum shevach beit aviyah. What Rav Yehuda said, together with the brighter that backs him, is more reasonable, and I can still paskin between the two of them. It's not considered to be a suffix, which was because we had a brighter in both directions. We could say that the Baal is considered to be muvzak. He's in possession, therefore we can't take it away from him. None of that is true because of Bistavra Tavid Rav Yehuda. It's just reasonable what he's paskin, and I paskin that way. Hayitita, the idol of the Gavra, there was a certain woman who had brought to her a man at the wedding, Itzla de Milta, a beautiful, beautiful coat that was made out of very expensive wool, in a shuma, in her ketuvah. Shachiv, the man died, in Shaklua Yasmi, Uparsua Amitna, the tomim of the man. They went ahead, and they spread out this beautiful thing over the dead man, over the body, thinking that it would be his tachrichim and that he would be buried with it. And therefore, it would become osir, because anything that is the beged of a mate or tachrichim of a mate is osir as the mate itself. Omar Rava Kanya Mitna. In this case, unfortunately, because they made it the tachrichim of the mate was koned in the sense that it became the tashmishima mate, that it became asur ba'ana, it's forbidden to benefit from that. Nani, of Yosef, of Kana, Nani, who was the son of Rav Yosef, the son of Rav, said to Rav Kana, how could the Yisomi go ahead and take something, you give it away to the mate to Asrid, if I thought we passed him like Rav Yehuda Adin Ima, and therefore it's hers, and if it's hers, you can't take somebody else's thing and give it away and make it Asrid because of Tachrich and the mace, obviously. Omales Rav Kahana said, it's true that the woman has a right to collect it, but it's only a she'ibud, it's only a lien. And Milo Moda Rav Yehuda, the Mechlisa Guvaina, is he not Moda that it isn't hers, it's just her right? In other words, until she collects it, it's not yet considered that she has established ownership over it, it's that she has a lien that allows her to collect it. The problem here is that Kiva the Mechlisa Guvaina, since it's not now yet in her possession, because there's such thing as ownership, such thing as taking possession, since it hasn't been taken possession by her, it's bereshutei, it's still in the reshut of the deceased Baal,
koy. That's where it is until it's collected. And therefore, when he dies, it means that the coat was in his possession, or in the possession of the Yatomim, and what they did to it is enough to destroy her lien. This being Rava Shita all over. This is Rava Latami, this is Rava Lashita Tot. The Amar Rava, Rava's opinion is that Hegdash, if somebody now went ahead, and he was a borrower, and he had a mortgage on some property, and he went ahead and he gave away the property before paying back the mortgage. He gave it to Hegdash to actually belong to them. Machlokas, Rishonim, whether this is true, even if it's Kedushas Momon, meaning Kedushas Domim, or only if it's Kedushat HaGuf, where he actually gives it the not the value of it, but the actual field to Hegdash. But in any event, it says over here, according to Rava, that that Hegdash would cancel the she'ibud of the mortgage. Or a case of Chametz, where you had over here a mortgage on certain Chametz items to pay back. Let's say you had a macaroni factory, and you gave the entire stock of macaroni to the bank as a mortgage for a mortgage, and they have a lien on it to collect a loan, and now here it is, and it's Erev Pesach, and now you're going to be ending up now with that Chametz. And Shichrur, Eved Knani now, who was himself the subject of a loan that had been secured by his own body for the owner, and now he went ahead and he freed the Eved Knani. In these three cases, the lien is no longer effective, and the Hegdish will be chal. The Chometz will nonetheless become Chometz, will become Osir. The Shichrur will still be chal, and it's their Mafki'in Midei She'ibud. Their din is, because these are halachas that have to do with the actual the organism itself, their Mafki'in Midei She'ibud. And so Rav is saying over here that Tachrichan Amet, which is something that changes the status of the very organism, in this case the coat that was covering him, that cancels the shibud of the, in this case, the shibud of the woman. The galima, in this case, the coat becomes usur because it's now chafetzim of a mate, mukadashim to the mate. Omer Rav Yudeh, nisa lo shnei kelim. Let's say that she had taken from the house of her father two different things, and she brought it into her ketuvah, and they evaluated it for, let's say, elevzos. It was $1,000. And he writes that he's going to pay the $1,000. V'shavchu. And now they have been accruing in value, so that by the time that he dies, amdu ha'shnei alafim. They were now worth $2,000. Echad notarato b'ketuvata. So she could have one of them to pay up for the $1,000 that he owes her. The achad noten adamim, the other one she could keep it if she wanted, but she'll have to pay for it to the husband or to his heirs. She can take it. But if it's worth more than it was in the haracha, the ketuvah, the assessment, she'll have to pay the difference. Michael Mashmo, what is the chiddush over here that Rav Yudeh is saying? That shevach beit aviyah didayivi, that she's allowed to actually collect the thing because it's called Shevach Beit Aviyah. I mean, that's exactly what we've been discussing until now. There's no point in discussing it again. This is what we've been saying before. That if she says, as we said over here, Kelaya Nino Telet, I want back my things, Adinima. And it says, the Gemara, Ma, who did tell I might have thought the wind had ready to say, Adinima, Hanimile Hechadamatila Mishka Bechtuvata. That's Davka in a case where the value of the kelim that were in the ketuvah are basically what was evaluated in the ketuvah. But that in a case where she doesn't have a right to the value of the kelim, that she could still take the kelim and then pay for it, I would certainly have thought that that's not quite the same, and that she should be able to actually take things that are more then the value of that's what's owed her, Kamashma, that even so, Rav Yudeh, as Rav Yudeh Paskin, so to the Tana is telling us that the halacha is,
Shevach Beit Aviyah gives her an absolute right to everything but the actual value, which of course she'll still have to pay out of her own pocket.